And you might like to turn in your Bible over to the book of Exodus, if you would. Exodus and chapter 19. Exodus 19. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we've opened again your word, your day, your time. So help us, Spirit of God, and we're going to be very thankful in Christ's name. Amen. So, in our exercise of late, looking at Israel's super-duper victory, this is what started all this a while back. In Joshua chapter 10, 11, 12. Now, and filling in the pieces that gave them this wonderful victory for a moment. Now, so therefore, in order to do that, just think of history, just our world history, and of all the nations that have existed way back with Egypt, all the way coming forward, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, etc. All the great nations have come and gone. What do we know about all the nations? They came and went, except Israel. Israel is always there. When they were in the days of Solomon, when they were with it, all the world knew they were with it. In that little place over in Palestine. They all knew that. Now, Israel, they didn't stay there very long, and Babylon came in and took over. But Israel is always marked. And therefore, when Israel is healthy, like in the days of Solomon, David, that's one thing. When Israel is not healthy, the world's still going to look at anti-Semitism, etc., etc. They're going to pay attention to Israel. You can't get rid of it. It's always in the limelight of conversation, as it is today. So, now, capitalizing on that, Exodus chapter 19, and you would recall, in God's wonderful grace, that God chose Israel. It's a chosen nation. And therefore, putting that to let it sit in our little head and heart, chapter 19, verse 4, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. I brought you to me, said God. All the nations are doing what they're doing, and I took Israel, and I took him by the hand and brought them to me. Personal. Verse 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar, special, prized privilege, treasure unto me. Above all people, for all the earth is mine. You will be the nation. We don't read about France. We don't read about Spain. We don't read about Canada. We don't read about the United States. No, 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 no. Only one nation. Only one nation is marked. That's Israel. God chose them. It's his nation, Israel. And verse 6. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Israel had the bright and privilege to be a chosen nation in God's grace, in promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They didn't do it. As you know, in verse 8, all that you have gone said, we're going to do it, and they couldn't do it. They were supposed to just believe the promise and receive the grace of God and be a special nation and enjoy being a special nation. Now, one of the places that locks that in, over to Deuteronomy, and in Deuteronomy chapter 7. And in Deuteronomy chapter 7, picking up, if I may, and you will note verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special, prized, privileged people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep his oath, which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand out of Egypt, and out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now that's a wonderful thing. Now, that question, to have the privilege of being these special people, and to be prized and honored by God, over. All people in the nation of the earth. Wow. We just get all huffy and puffy. Wow. No, you don't. God said, let me tell you why you're special. You're special because. Now, Deuteronomy and chapter 2. Again, just reviewing all these things that you know. Deuteronomy chapter 2, and you will note, Deuteronomy chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 5. As Israel's going to the Sinai Desert, and they're going to go into the land, and they're reminded in their journey all the way through. They left Egypt, they have to go into God's place. So therefore, as you know, we did the other day, verse 5, chapter 2, verse 5. Meddle not with them. This is with the children of Esau. Meddle not with them, for I will not, N-O-T, give you of their land, no, not so much as a foot breadth. That's pretty clear. You can't even have a footprint in that land. Because I have given unto Mount Seir, unto Esau, for a possession. And verse 9, and the Lord said unto me, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle, for I will not give thee of their land for a possession, because I have given Ir unto the children of Lot for a possession. Now, verse 19, and when thou comest nigh over against the children of Ammon, distress them not, nor meddle with them. Why not? For I will not give thee of the land of the children of Ammon any possession, because I have given it unto the children of Lot for a possession. So you can't have anything. And you know from Joshua and chapter 1, and right now, might as well keep turning and keep busy. Joshua chapter 1, as you would know, and God tells them, what land have I given you? Chapter 1, verse 2. And my servant Joshua is dead. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, in my will, in my wonderful way, I've chosen a place. And, oh, verse 4, from the wilderness of, and from wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and the great unto the great sea, that's the Mediterranean, toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. And where does the sun set? In the west. So if you're coming from the Jordan and you look over across the Jordan, what do you see? The great Mediterranean Sea, as you see. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so history is all about God's story, his story. It's all about God's wonderful plan and purpose for history to outwork itself in a most wonderful way. And therefore, as we shared the other day on Wednesday and that, keep that in mind, that God, his time, Genesis 1:1, Revelation 22, 21, new heaven and new earth, and here it is, a little speck comparatively in the middle of God. So God, it isn't meant, it just meant to exist, this little speck from Genesis to Revelation. For what reason? To be able to put humans on it, and to take a human and save them. For what? For the big picture. Here's the little picture. That's where we are. And God saving us for the big picture. That's what he's doing. Now, having said that, so Israel is God's nation in a wonderful way. Back over to Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy is going to do a number of things that help us. So Deuteronomy, if I can, if I pick it up, chapter 4. And in Deuteronomy in chapter 4, as you would know, I'm just going to read that so it stays fresh in our mind. Chapter 4 and verse 6. This is Israel's assignment, commission. This is why Israel exists. This is why they're special. Verse 6, be keep therefore and do them, the commandments. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations that are all looking at you, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise, understanding people. For that what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation, verse 8, is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? What nation is like that? There is none. And Israel's job was to what? Show forth God's wonderful saving grace. God is going to send the Savior by way of Israel, and Israel is going to be honored. Therefore, chapter 12. And in chapter 12, you'll remember, chapter 12, here's the land. God has a special place for them. They can't go any place they please. In other words, Caleb in Numbers can't say, give me this mountain. He can't take any mountain. He can't take a mountain that isn't God's given. You can't just say, I want to do this. You can say it. But it wouldn't work. So now, here we are, chapter 12. God has a special place for Israel. And in the process, chapter 12, verse 5, unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall you seek. Thither shall thou come. And thither shall thou bring your burnt offerings, etc. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Go down to verse 11. Then there shall be a place for the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, your heave offerings of your hand, and all your choice vows, which thou shalt vow unto the Lord. In other words, Christ is going to die. That's where he's going to reign, in Jerusalem, in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Verse 14. But in the place which the Lord shall choose, in one of thy tribes, there thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings, there shalt thou do all that I command thee. So in God's wonderful grace, verse 18, and there, but thou must eat them before the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, etc. Going to have to go, verse 21. And if the place which the Lord thy God hath chosen to put his name there be too far from thee, then thou shalt kill of thy herd and of thy flock, which the Lord hath given thee, as I have commanded thee, and thou shalt eat at thy gates whatsoever thy soul lusteth after. So you're going to go. And so as you turn the pages, Israel has a special place, not any place, in God's place. And Israel's having being in that place, that's where he's going to put his name, Jerusalem. And you know, without turning there, in 1 Kings chapter 8, Solomon dedicating the temple, and he makes it clear what? God. Here's the temple. And if the temple gets knocked down, anticipating that it would, and the enemy comes in, whenever thy people, Israel, scattered all over the world because of captivity, whenever they pray to this place, looking at this place, because this is where your name is. Your name is there. This is your place. Not Canada, not the United States, and not Spain. It's Jerusalem, your place, your place. So looking to your place in a most wonderful way. So God's place in Christ. Now applying it without each time, but getting a little of it, so you see it, what has God done for you? God doesn't have a place for the church. God has done what? God has gone and taken his place. Where has he taken his place in this day of grace? He's taken his place in the heart of whosoever that believes. That's what he's done. And that's special. That's special. That's awesomely special. Of all the humans on planet Earth, God in the heart of the believer is special, special, special. It's his place, his wonderful, wonderful place. Now, keeping that in mind, in Christ, in fact, we over to 1 Corinthians to do that. Over to 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. And 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. And just to catch it, to tie it as we move along, God. Israel is God's people for God's nation. And we are super special because we have a wonderful relationship to God in a most wonderful way. We are his body, as it were. And 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. And you'll notice, for you know not that we are the temple of God, and that the temple, Spirit of God dwelleth in you. And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. A temple. In Jerusalem is the temple for Israel and the Lord. You are right now as a believer of all the people of the world, when you receive Christ as your Savior, you were made super duper special in God's place. God's place in this day of grace is in your heart. That's where it is. Special. So when we try to, God dwelleth in us and us in God, you have to understand, to get a handle on that, how special that is. Very special. What makes you special? Christ in you makes you special. Makes you special. It's his place. So you and I, when we go to school, go to work, go to bed, do whatever we're doing, wherever we are, we bring our body wherever we are, and we are bringing God, letting God, Acts 1:8, we're his witnesses. At work, at home, at school, whatever we're doing, we're special. No one knows and no one cares, but God does. Israel, no one cares that they're special. They would like to get rid of Israel. They're going to try to get rid of Israel. But Israel is special. But the world doesn't see it. The world doesn't see Jesus Christ as special. They don't even see him as special. They don't see you as special. But God does. Now, keeping that in front of us, if we can. So Israel's in God's place. Now let's put some more pieces together. Go back over to Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy in chapter 8. And Deuteronomy chapter 8, if I can. And picking up. And you will note, in chapter 8, we have, I'm going to go if I can. Remember, it's a wonderful, wonderful chapter. And God, he helps them as he's summing up the 40 years in the wilderness, chapter 8. And God said, I tested you, verse 2, 8, 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee, and to prove, put you to the test, to know what was in your heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or not. And remember what we read this morning to remind ourselves. What God, how do you want us to keep your word? Deuteronomy chapter 6. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. That's my commandment to you. I want you to love me with all your heart. Now, so therefore, chapter 8, verse 7. I'm going to give you a good land. A good land. Verse 7. 8, 7. And the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water and fountains and depths that spring out of the valley and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein, verse 9, thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. God, I'm going to give you a wonderful, wonderful place to be. That's what I'm going to do. I have a wonderful place for you, and in that place, I'm going to what? Take care of everything. Everything is there in perfectness, completeness, for you to enjoy where I put you. You'll never say, we need to be somewhere else. You don't need to be anywhere else. I need to be something. No, I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I don't need to know anything else, really. It's enough. It's enough to be, think of the morning, in the presence of God. God is finding his home in your heart if you're saved, and you are finding your home in God's heart if you're saved. There is nothing else. It's the top. It's where it is. Special. Special, special, special. Now, chapter 8, verse 16. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that purpose he might humble thee, that he might prove thee, put thee to the test, to do thee good at the latter, in thy latter end. And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath got me this wealth. That's so in danger now. You got such a privilege. And you're going to say, wow, we did it. Somehow our little old pride gets in there. So what are you helping us with, God? Israel had to stay on their toes. Don't think you have all that you have. The specialness you have to God isn't because you're the good guys. So don't hang on. It isn't because you're the better than somebody else in that sense. So therefore, chapter 8, and if I can, picking up, please, in verse 19. But thou shalt remember, verse 18, 9, 18, Deuteronomy. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do want not, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. You can only enjoy all that I give you because I give it to you. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, that have I given to you. You can't take something and say, God, you got to bless it. No, I want God's will for your life, our life, and we want God's will to be outworked in God's way. And therefore, you can't start saying, we chose the land of Israel from the Euphrates River to the Mediterranean Sea. We did it. No, you didn't. I gave it to you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his son. All we did is receive. We didn't ask him to save us. We didn't have a plan to save us. We didn't have one thing. We were just dead in trespasses and sin. And God had a wonderful plan to save all us humans. Now, chapter 7. And in chapter 7, going to verse 14. And thou shalt be blessed above all people, because you're special. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee. But thou shalt but will lay them upon all them that hate thee, and thou shalt consume all the people, which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eyes shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for they will be a snare unto you. So you have to go and make sure you're doing the right thing in the right way. And therefore, verse 17, if thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Which you're going to do. Verse 18, thou shalt not be afraid of them, but thou shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and all of Egypt. And as you keep reading down in God's wonderful, wonderful grace, and you read down all the way, and you're going to keep reading, God is going to go, verse 23, the Lord thy God shall deliver them into thy hand. Verse 21, the Lord thy God shall deliver them into thy hand, and thou shalt destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. You're going to have a wonderful success. Wonderful success. It isn't because of your power and wealth. It's because of God's grace. Chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And in verse 1. Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day, to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven. In other words, cities like Jericho and all of it have very high walls, double walls, some of them. Not just one wall, double walls. Wow. And verse 2, a people great and tall, like the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest, and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak with all those giants? Wow. Understand therefore this day, verse 3, that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee as a consuming fire. He shall destroy them. He shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out to destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said unto thee. You're promised a wonderful, wonderful victory in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Verse 4, speak thou not in thine heart, but, warning, speak thou not in thine heart, after that the Lord God hath cast them out from thee, before thee. You won the battle. Saying, don't be saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord doth drive out them out from before thee. Verse 5. Nor, not for thy righteousness, or for thy uprightness of thine heart, dost thou go to possess their land, but for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. They're the bad guys, and they're full of idolatry. And they're in my place. They're in my land. They're in my place chosen. Or the Genesis 10, I chose it. That's where I'm going to put my city. That's where Jerusalem is going to be. I did that. So don't be saying in God, you verse 5 and 6, don't be saying now because we're the good guys. No, it's their wickedness and their idolatry. So all of it then, having God's will, being special, Israel, you have to understand it is God's grace that makes you special. And don't get yourself, your old sin nature, don't let that get in the way. What do you know about your old sin nature? When's it going to die? You ready? When's your old sin nature going to die? Next week? No. That's why it's so hard today. Here's Iran and Islam and that. That's what they are. No matter what you do, like your old sin nature. We are Islam. We are Allah. What else is there? So you could take us and put us in prison. We are not going to be converted to Christianity, to democracy, whatever you're doing. No, we can't be. It's against everything. And that's why you can't win this without doing what you have to do. Because they aren't going to change. No more than your old nature changes. Your old nature isn't going to change. It's just as lousy next week as it was last year. That stays the same. So the enemy, you aren't going to beat it. God's going to have to what? Oh, help you overcome. Read Genesis, 1 John 4, 4. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's why. It isn't because you earned it, you deserve, I'm doing being good enough to get this. No, you're not good enough, and neither am I. You're going to get it because of God's grace. And God says, don't start saying you're able and you earned anything, you deserve anything. You don't. It's God's grace to you. Your old nature is not that way, ever, ever, ever. I need to see that. So now, having said that little bit, in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, understand therefore that the Lord thy God giveth thee not, N-O-T, this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people. So I didn't give it, I'm not doing it all because of you, I'm not doing it. So now, having said that, in chapter 9, as we shared, and therefore, God's wonderful plan, power, and God's going to do what he's going to do in his most wonderful, wonderful way. So therefore, God, you're going to help us to be conquerors, more than conquerors. That's what you're going to do. Now, Israel has a very, very special, special privileged position. They have in God's providence, for history, for into eternity, Israel is going to be the nation that all in the new heaven or new earth, and Israel is going to be the centerpiece, Jerusalem, our Lord, and all the nations are there to honor God. And they're honoring God's saving grace in a most wonderful way. Now our time is gone. So, in the light of that, over to Colossians. Colossians, if you would. And in Colossians, picking up if I may. Now, we didn't get very far where I wanted to go, but you get a little bit yet, a little bit to see. You're special. And boy, you're special. That's what we want to see. Israel is special. Now, so God, what are you doing? You're trying to bring everything together so that God is honored. So when you read in Colossians, remember, you know, verse 1, chapter 3, verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. And you have verse 3, you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ who is your life shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. And therefore it goes down telling us to reckon ourselves dead, to don't be trusting your righteousness, don't be trusting your anything. The reason God is doing what he's doing in his most wonderful way is because of the saving grace found in the person of Jesus Christ in your heart. That's why he's doing it. And you're counting on that. Now, you can do that with great positiveness. If you're going to trust yourself, I'm trusting, am I good enough? Did I do the right things? My works. Am I doing the right things and getting it? Getting it? You know, God, you got to help me because. No, you don't have to help me because of anything. The reason, it's solid. That's why if you confess your sin and 3 weeks later he sends you a note that he forgives it, right? You confess your sin and he is faithful and just, boom. Why? Because you're trusting him and not you. Your sin nature is crucified. We just read it in Colossians, it's dead. Now, I didn't mean to get sidetracked. In Colossians. Now, sliding down, if I can. And to God, what are you going to do? All that you're going to do is because of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's your safety. That's your surety. It isn't anything about you. It's nothing about me. It's about his person. And you're resting in his word. To be faithful, like Sunday school, to be faithful and keep his word. That's what he's going to do. So therefore, God, what are you after? Chapter 3, Colossians 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond or free. It isn't about individuals being this person, that person, having this qualification, that qualification. No. But Christ is all and in all. He's the beginning and the end. That's why you're special. That's why you're special. So it isn't because you're a Jew, it isn't because you're a Gentile, it isn't because you're a good guy, a bad guy, or you did this, or you didn't do that, or I never did that, like they did in Sunday school with the guy that said, I've done good all my life, now how much gooder do I have to be? Now, so therefore, God, Christ, is what? He's the centerpiece. He, you reckon yourself dead and alive unto God in Christ Jesus. And he is your life. And you just thank God for it. You thank God for it. And so you aren't working at it. You aren't trying to find it and get something. No, you're learning how to practice rightly the presence of God, who you can never get out of his presence. And thus, by your heart and mind, are right in the middle of God, and God is right in the middle of our heart. And there we are. And it's all because of God, and nothing because of anybody else. And Israel had to learn that. Don't you think because your guys are good enough, you're never good enough. Your old, it's easier. Your old nature is never good enough. Romans 8, it cannot please God. It will never please God. So we dump the dumb thing. We stop trusting it. I got to quit. Hope you got a little bit. Our Father and God, we thank you for your word again, and help us understand inch by inch as we get down the corridor of time. And our Father will thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.